The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
President Obama urges citizens to hide evidence of our formerly prosperous lives from the nation's youth. Swab releases a new 20-year leave-in conditioner, and a truly authentic Mexican restaurant is shut down immediately. Focus groups have found the tone of my voice to be cold and unforgiving.
But if you plan to get saved, you'd better do it now. There will be a day not in the too far distant future in which Antichrist will be revealed, and the mark of the beast will be introduced.
You've also spoken out about the issue of religion and politics, and early in the campaign, you talked about John F. Kennedy's famous speech to the Baptist ministers in Houston back in 1960. Here's what you had to say.
Very late in my political career, I had the opportunity to read the speech, and I almost threw up. You should read the speech.
That speech has been read, as you know, by millions of Americans. Its themes were echoed in part by Mitt Romney in the last campaign. What?
Because the first substantive line in the speech says, I believe in America where the separation of church and state is absolute. I don't believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute. The idea that the church can have no influence or no involvement in the operation of the state is absolutely antithetical.
And mothers left us a mandate. We've got to separate the church and the state. So get your head straight before it's too late and you drop it in the plate. You must appreciate Jesus and money. Make a man speak in tongues, scream out his lungs, roll in the dung. And when the song is sung, he moves up another rung. And the deaf and the dumb are the ones who get stung. Here come the sex police, they're at your bedroom door, moving in next door, searching from floor to floor. You know what they're looking for, someone's always keeping score. Every time you dip the oar, love isn't fun no more. Love isn't fun no more. Love isn't fun no more. Love isn't fun no more.
Fascist Christ!
Come to the rescue.
Fascist Christ!
Come to the rescue.
Fascist Christ!
Come to the rescue.
Just because we disagree on public policy, which is what the debate has been about, which is marriage, doesn't mean that it's bigotry. Just because you follow a moral code that teaches us something wrong, doesn't mean that. Are you suggesting that the Bible and that the Catholic Church is bigoted? Well, if that's what you believe, fine. I think that 2000. Well, I shouldn't say not fine. I don't think it's fine at all. I think that is that's contrary to both what we've seen in 2,000 years of human history and Western civilization, and trying to redefine something that is seen as wrong from the standpoint of the church, and saying a church is bigoted because it holds that opinion that is biblically based, I think is in itself its act of bigotry.
But we're right! And 98% of our flock is wrong! It's all right here in the good book. In the beginning, there was the persecution by the Trojans in Galilee, which led to, in Bishops 3:18, the Sermon on the Mounting, where Jesus made condoms and naughty thoughts disappear. Verily, Jesus declared to his followers that birth control is intrinsically wrong.
Actually, really declared by some guy in 1968.
And yea, in Bishops 20:12 it is written that contraception leadeth not to fewer abortions. Bishops work in mysterious ways. And sent from on high would come a prophet in simple sleeveless vestments to help the faithful defeat the wicked king before he spreads his healthcare seed. Our bishops, who are quite heavenly, hallowed be our game. Our kingdom come, our will be done, keeping women down a rung. With all our might, we're so far right. We're sexperts, as you know. Our holy plan for all mankind is simply just say no. This is the word of the bishops.
Amen.
Let's get fundamental about this strange philosophy in which God and man are enemies, in which there is no serenity unless you happen to believe precisely what they want you to believe, and no diversity. Come join the army and learn the noises that drown out the other's voices, and please the devil who rejoices when mankind has no choices, and power exploits us and peace avoids us. Guess who to the rescue on our holy mission to uphold the tradition of the Spanish Inquisition and preempt your decision by forcing your confession. Now let that be a lesson you think you're messing with. Who you think you're messing with? Who you think you're messing with? Messing with.
Fascist Christ!
Come to the rescue.
Fascist Christ!
Come to the rescue.
Fascist Christ!
Come to the rescue.
That old time religion.
Here comes
Fascist Christ!
Come to the rescue.
Fascist Christ!
Come to the rescue.
Fascist Christ!
Come to the rescue.
Recently, the abortion birth control debate has bubbled to the top again, and let's call it what it actually is. It's not an attack on women. It's a defense of the absolute holy power of men. Grandiose, douche-faced, Quasimodo-looking motherfuckers are worried that they don't have control over women anymore. They're worried about the idea of a woman with her lesser intellectual faculties making choices about her own body. And if a woman's not subservient to her man, then that means we aren't living in the 1950s anymore, which is secretly where these guys want to be, because women did what they were told, and black people didn't talk to you, and you weren't supposed to respect Arabs as if they were human beings, and you could even steal a simple primary election without people getting their panties all in a bunch and acting like all the votes should be counted. Mitt, I'm looking in your direction, and a lot of those people who want those votes counted, fucking women. Recently, some of the GOP have been talking about how 90% of Planned Parenthood's funding goes to abortion. And the truth is, that's a lot of fucking abortion. That's like aborting, like, everybody. It's too bad those congressmen were only off by 87 points with that number. It's 3%. 3% of their funding goes to abortion. That's a lot wrong. I mean, to be that wrong, you have to be unfamiliar with numbers of any sort. That's like confusing the number 36 with a spoon. That's like confusing your multiplication tables with real tables. You remember in third grade math class when that one kid answered every question by picking his nose and then sticking it in his ear? That's the level these people are at. And besides, imagine if women had legal control over any aspect of the male anatomy. Imagine if a Congress of 80% women voted that all men had to be circumcised or have a vasectomy or could only come twice a year. How long would that last before there was a massive civil war with thousands of deaths ending in the president signing the ejaculation proclamation? But male power is just the real reason these men are upset. Let's spend some time addressing the stupid bullshit reason they're upset. They want to claim it's about religion, about the sanctity of life. And 95% of the time, these are the same people who are ready to drop a bomb at the drop of a hat. They'll blow up endless numbers of children and babies in Afghanistan, Vietnam, Korea, and Iraq. They'll abort millions the world over in the name of oil, with defense as the pretense. Millions that are not minuscule eggs or bundles of cells. These people have names and clothing and likes and dislikes, and one of their biggest dislikes? Being bombed. Furthermore, if you're so pro-life, if life is a gift from the Almighty, if it's incredible and awe-inspiring, then how about standing up against factory farms? Millions of living, breathing creatures with the IQ of a 3-year-old human are slammed together in cages no bigger than their bodies. Do you love all of God's creatures? What about the ones you torture and pump full of more chemicals than Sylvester Stallone's face? When all the wars have ended and the Republicans don't flip out at the idea of decreasing our nuclear arsenal and all the factory farms are stopped, then and only then will I take your love of life seriously. Until then, this is just a bunch of unevolved men making sure they maintain some power over the broads. That's your moment of clarity from LeeCamp.net. Stand up for women's rights, all right? Let's not go back 70 years all of a sudden. I know time machines sound cool, but unless it involves Marty McFly, I don't want anything to do with it.
Hello, I am a woman.
I'm a woman.
I'm a woman.
A female of the species.
You can tell because of the whole vagina having thing.
Often, American women depend on Planned Parenthood.
For medical care.
It's like doctors and stuff.
Otherwise, many women can't afford basic care.
They help women, period.
Period. It's come to my attention,
as a woman,
that there are people
who would like to stop funding for Planned Parenthood.
Okay.
People can believe what they want.
But if you're a man who doesn't care about women's sexual health,
then that is duly f***ing noted.
And there's nothing less hot than a man who doesn't care about vaginas.
My vagina,
for your intents and purposes,
is off the table.
Period.
Period. I'm not saying that people who oppose basic funding for women's health care can go f*** themselves.
But as far as I'm concerned, they won't have any other options.
Vagina Havers, does your sexual partner support vaginas? If not, tell him how he can go get f***ed. Alone.
What do you say we lighten things up and talk about abortion? You know... I feel like I'm losing some of you here, and I want to win all of you back with this one. Boy, I've never seen an issue so divisive. You ever seen? It's like a civil war, isn't it? Even amongst my friends, who are all very intelligent, they are totally divided on abortion. It's unbelievable. Some of my friends, for instance, think these pro-life people are annoying idiots. Other of my friends think these pro-life people are evil fucks. How are we going to come to a consensus? You ought to hear the arguments around my house. They're annoying. They're idiots. They're evil. They're fucks. Brothers, sisters, come together. Can't we once just join hands and think of them as evil, annoying, idiot fucks?
There are those that follow Mohammed's book. I've never been one of them. I'm a Roman Catholic, and have been since before I was born. And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer, you don't have to have a great brain, you don't have to have any clothes on, you're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred, every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Every sperm is sacred.
Dear God, please don't let a stray Rottweiler chew off my genitals. And don't let my arms be pulled off by a threshing machine. Don't let me crash from a freeway, mangling my legs and causing massive irreparable brain damage, paralyzing me for life so I can't move, clean myself, or go to the bathroom normally. Don't let me be stabbed in the head or be captured by a sadistic serial killer who tortures me in his basement. Don't let my building collapse in a horrific earthquake trapping me, all my bones broken and split, smothered so that I can barely breathe, my life slowly seeping out of me. Please, God, keep my skin from burning. Don't let me go blind. Don't let me be shot, slashed, or bludgeoned to death. Don't let any of my organs fail on me. Don't let my bones snap for any reason. Don't let my skull be fractured or my eyes get accidentally punctured. Don't let anyone I love die or get sick. Don't let me become homeless. Don't let me lose all my possessions. Don't let me be arrested or executed or tortured. Don't let me be raped or assaulted. Don't let me be hit by a car. Don't let me get liver cancer. Don't let me get old and sick and helpless. And just don't let anything bad happen to me. Please. And in exchange for this, I will try to be a better person.
I know a lot of gay people, and it's reason that tells me that, you know, that person that is now alive and human should be given the rights of any person under the Constitution.
I want to discuss the last Fox debate in which a gay soldier got up at the debate on video and asked whether or not, as president, you would reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Here's what you said to him.
Any type of sexual activity has absolutely no place in the military, and the fact that they're making a point to include it as a provision within the military that we are going to recognize a group of people and give them a special privilege and removing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I think tries to inject social policy into the military.
Senator, you say sexual activity has no place in the military. Heterosexuals have been openly heterosexual for centuries in the military without any problems, and you talk about gays not being given or that they shouldn't be given special privilege. All that Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the repeal of it does is say that they are given the same rights as everybody else has had for forever.
Well, the problem is that sexual activity with people who are you are in close quarters with and who happen to be the same sex is different than having a discussion and being open about your sexual activity where there is you're not in that same situation. So you're talking about injecting, as I said.
Wait
before.
A minute. Are you saying you think that homosexual gay soldiers are going to sit there and go after their male counterparts in the barracks?
I didn't suggest that.
Well, you said they're in close proximity.
They're in close quarters. They live with people. They obviously shower with people. The whole kinds of all the things that are involved in living in a barracks or living out in the field. Those are issues that, again, some people. You're not talking about that individual person, but you're talking about the ability for people to be able to have that unicohesion, to be able to work together in an efficient fighting way, and obviously, and also by the way, the effect on retention and recruitment of people to live in that environment. And yes, there are people who would feel uncomfortable in that environment,
and as
a result, it could hurt our ability to retain and recruit and to put the best fighting force in place.
Senator,
if I may
follow up, because we really are running out of time, and it's continuing on this conversation. You say,
"Come the Christian Inquisition."
We got your number.
We know who you are.
You show us.
You healers.
You psychics.
You witches.
You new age dupes of the devil. You'll all quake.
When you feel
the fist of the Almighty come the Christian Inquisition. You astrologers.
Clairvoyants.
Channelers.
Crystal gazers.
You new agers. You know who you are.
We know who you are.
Our computers know exactly
where you are. Better say your prayers. Come the Christian Inquisition.
Your devil's work.
We have our ways.
We know how to stretch and dunk and burn and draw and corner and flail you alive. You get the point.
You will.
Come the Christian Inquisition. You shamans,
you psychics.
You healers,
witches.
Fun days are over.
Your days are numbered.
The church returns. Repent, repent. It's not too late.
Or is it?
Come the Christian Inquisition.
You crystal lovers.
You tarot readers.
You healers.
You pyramid sitters.
You astrologers.
You clairvoyants.
You channelers.
You
new age dupes of the devil. We'll crush your cults. There is but one way, and that way will be clear. Oh, so clear. Come the Christian Inquisition.
We've stacked the courts.
We've stacked the Congress.
We have money.
We have power. We have fear. There is nothing to stop us now. Bring on the instruments of persuasion. Open wide the doors. It's time once more to welcome the Christian Inquisition.
I have an excellent idea. Let's change the subject.
Right now, the Republican presidential candidates in their final debate. The American people often don't pay much attention to what's going on in the world until they have to.
I'm Rick Sand.
I'm a guy who's lived in the world of business. Business, business.
What I fear is the draft coming back because we're getting way overly involved.
And by the way, we live in an age when we have to genuinely worry about nuclear weapons going off in our own cities.
I'm real, man. I'm real.
Congratulations.
I'm real.
Please define yourself using one word.
Consistent.
Courage.
Resolute.
Cheerful.
Nice try, but now let's look at the facts.
Since birth control is the latest hot topic, which candidate believes in birth control, and if not, why? As you can see, it's a
very popular question.
You know, politics is a team sport, folks.
While I was fighting to save the Olympics, you were fighting to save the bridge to nowhere.
Okay, Governor, let's get this straight. Don't go around bragging about something you have to do.
4 years ago, you not only endorsed me, you and Laura Ingraham said, and this is the guy who is really conservative and we can trust him. Let's not forget you said that.
Hold on.
And if we had said no to Arlen Specter, we would not have Obamacare. So don't look at me. Take a look in the mirror.
Quickly, I want to bring the congressman and the speaker into the conversation, but respond.
That he...
Let me...
He,
I think
let
you got a little bit of a chance to say a word.
Mr. Speaker, you were referenced by the governor. You first, then Congressman Paul.
Go ahead,
Mr. Speaker.
You're entitled to your opinions, Mitch. You're not entitled to the... You know,
I've heard that line before. I've heard that before.
Misrepresent the facts, and you're misrepresenting the facts.
That's good enough.
Stop in your head.
Yeah. As George Costanza would say, when they're applauding, stop.
Crazy. I don't know karate, but I know crazy.
Offshore drilling is completely safe. You're getting sleepy. Tax cuts for the rich create new jobs. You're getting sleepy. Financial corporations will police themselves, and illegal aliens are stealing all your pens. Now when I count to three and snap my fingers, you'll awake refreshed and vote Republican. White people are the real victims of racism. You're getting sleepy. Fox News is fair and balanced. Sleepy. Hell Health care is a privilege and not a right. We can work together to wipe out the middle class. Now when I count to three and snap my fingers, you'll awake confused and vote Republican. I'm not saying Barack Obama is a foreign-born Islamist puppy eater. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you decide. There's no evidence to suggest that Nancy Pelosi's a thousand-year-old Nazi vampire. But that's what I heard. Somebody said that. It was me. Democrats want to put you in a re-education camp and kill your grandma and bring Stalin back to life. Now when I count to three and snap my fingers, Republican. And we'll prove it. John Boehner uses no tanning products. Sleepy. Newt Gingrich doesn't make shit up. Sleepy. Ben Quayle is gonna knock the hell out of Washington. Ronald Reagan. Sleepy, sleepy. So when I count to three and steal the White House China, you'll vote Republican. When I snap my fingers and invade Ontario, you'll vote Republican. And when I drag the nation through 8 years of carnage and incompetence and leave the place a bigger mess than Lindsay Lohan's trailer, then blame the Democrats for cleaning up too slow. You will awake refreshed, confused, and somewhat paranoid, and you'll remember nothing. And vote Republican. Almost comatose. One, two, three. Mitt Romney, everybody.
And by the federal government, I mean Republicans and Democrats working together. And the only thing dumber than a Republican or a Democrat is when these pricks work together. We have a two-party system. The Democratic Party, which is a party of no ideas. And the Republican Party, which is a party of bad ideas. And the way it works is the Republican stands up in Congress and goes, I got a really bad idea. And the Democrat says, and I can make it shittier.
Selling out is easy to do. It's not so hard to find a buyer for you. When money talks, you're under its spell. Ah, but what do you have when there's nothing left to sell? Selling out,
I'd rather call it compromise,
is easy to do.
Sometimes you have to close your eyes.
It's not so hard.
Being rich is no disgrace.
To find a buyer for you.
Put on your shoes and join the race.
When money talks,
it has a very soothing voice.
You're under its spell.
It's up to you to make the choice.
Ah, but what do
before
you have
know it,
when there's
be
nothing left to sell? Can't always break the rules. People who try are fools. When you get older, maybe then you will see. I've always found ideals don't take the place of meals. That's how it is and how it will always be.
it's so nice to have integrity. I'll tell you why. If you really have integrity, it means your price is very high. So remember when you start to preach and moralize that we all are in the game, and brother, its name is compromise. It's so nice to have integrity. I'll tell you why. It's nice to have integrity. Remember when you start
Many people talk about how we now live in an Orwellian world where laws that pollute the skies are called the Clear Skies Initiative, and awe-inspiringly greedy dickholes are called job creators, and laws allowing hydraulic fracking inside wildlife refuges are called energy initiatives, and laws that say you should punch every dark-skinned person in the throat while screaming, "Tell Al-Qaeda that's for knocking down our towers, motherfucker," are called the Patriot Act. We now live in that world. We live in a place that would make Orwell rub sulfuric acid in his eyes and dig at his ears with a spoon. But I actually think we've moved past that into something worse, into something that is not just bad things with good titles. We've moved into actually creating Orwellian organizations, doing meaningless Orwellian projects with Orwellian names on the taxpayer dollar. If that doesn't leave your head spinning like Silvio Berlusconi with underage girls standing on three sides of him, then I don't know what will. For example, in his book Vulture's Picnic, Greg Palast details the creation of an organization called America's Wetland Foundation. Now, anything with a name that rosy must have some dead hookers in the basement. That's just how it works. I'm surprised they didn't name it My Little Pony, God Bless America, Jesus. Anyway, America's Wetland Foundation was actually receiving a third of a billion taxpayer dollars to pile giant mounds of sand and dirt in the Mississippi Delta to quote-unquote catch BP's spilt oil. Sounds like a great plan. If only anyone thought it would work. It was actually slated to catch only 1,000 barrels of oil. How much oil was lost by BP? I'm glad you asked. 210 million barrels. Who was receiving the money to create the dirt pile? The Shaw Group. Who was one of Governor Bobby Jindal's biggest supporters? The fucking Shaw Group. You know who else funded America's wetland? The oil companies. So you've got a foundation with a bullshit name building a bullshit pile of bullshit funded by a governor feeding the press bullshit and ultimately funneling a third of $1 billion into the pockets of an asshole construction company while making it appear as if Jindal and oil companies are fighting to protect the fucking wetlands. Basically, piles of bullshit come out of the assholes and billions of dollars are pushed back into the assholes. And as most of us know, bullshit does not catch oil or save wetlands or protect the environment. It just makes everything stinky. That's all. And this is just one small example of the same process happening around the country and the world. Did you ever think we'd be at a point so corrupt, so swallowed by swindle, that fraudulent foundations are actually paid to create meaningless piles of sand to pretend to protect the wetlands they've already wasted? Orwell would be so dizzy he'd vomit and pass out.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows that the war is over. Everybody knows that the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. 'Cause everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody's got this broken feeling, like their daddy or their dog just died. Everybody's talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows.
And here they are again. The fabulous, the fantastic, the one, the only, the Android Sisters!
Way, way, way back. There were elephants
and donkeys
romping in the playpen.
And even though
it wasn't their playpen,
no one else was allowed to play.
They made sure
it was very expensive
to play in their playpen. Yes, children, it was all a game.
But the elephants
and donkeys made the rules.
And the rules were,
if you were not an elephant
or a donkey,
maybe you were a buffalo
or a bull
or a swan
or a snake,
well, tough. The elephants
and donkeys
made sure no one else
was getting into
their playpen.
No way,
no sir.
They bit each other on the ears, they kicked each other in the rumps, they trumpeted and hee-hawed.
All sound bites, you know.
But some people thought,
why don't we have whinnies?
And barks and meows and oinks and hisses. But nope,
no one else
was allowed in their playpen.
Now in other lands,
they had bears
and bulls
and buffaloes
and green things. No one was sure what the green things were.
But anyway,
people put up with that elephant and donkey crap for the longest time.
You wouldn't believe how long.
Well,
you probably would.
People kept clamoring for change.
Hey, brother, can you spare some change?
But nope,
no change.
What did we get?
More elephants,
more donkeys.
Oh, democracy. Oh, poor democracy.
Once lofty.
With branches
that spread and shaded all. Now whittled down
to a sliver of a
sound bite. Trumpets.
And hee-haws.
And keep-its.
And trumphaws.
And pulpits.
You can't tell the difference anymore. What was once an elephant
became an elecky.
What was once a donkey
became a dog fant.
Yep. They were playing in
their playpen by themselves for too darn long.
So, remember, children, your vote counts.
Well, it counts if you vote for, you know.
Let's hear it for the Android Sisters! Yeah!
What is it we Americans have been so complicit in hiding from ourselves? In our devotion to the perverse legend that has come to inhabit our souls like an incubus. It is millions of us with no work or hope in middle age whose jobs and homes have been devoured by the sick fraud machine of Wall Street. It is the trash, demolished weed lots of our major cities crumbling in fire-gutted ruin. It is the many cities with industries defunct and factories dismantled and shipped overseas. It is our decaying, defunded public schools, our bankrupt states and counties, our overtaxed, antiquated public transportation systems, our obsolete, dissolving infrastructure, our gigantic and irrational prisons horror, our cynical healthcare con game, and over it all, the jackboot mechanism of our police state, armed and empowered, ready for use against us all. This is where we are. The great question now is whether we can awaken from our long nightmare and face the terrifying and exhilarating prospect of living in reality without the false props and dishonest constructs of a hoodwinked and dishonored people. Or whether we have internalized the falsity to such an extent that it has become a collective insanity.
Pretty.
And I did some research, and the United States Constitution has something in it called a petition for redress of grievances, which the colonists came up with for King George. They wanted to petition the king for representation in Parliament, because as you probably know, the beginning of the American Revolution was really trying to reconcile with the king and to just get right in Parliament. They wanted to have representatives in Parliament so that they could be heard. And of course, King George would have none of it, and he threw the petitions in the garbage, and the rest is history. But what we're doing is basically the same thing. What we're doing is we're using that clause from the Constitution to elect another Continental Congress, petition Congress. We're going to elect 876 delegates from each of the 435 congressional voting districts in the United States. Mm. One man, one woman from each district, and they're going to come to Philadelphia the week of July 4th, and they're going to ratify a petition for redress of grievances, and then it's going to be legally served on the government. You know, 535 copies to Congress, 9 to the Supreme Court, and 1 to the White House. We then will wait a reasonable period of time for them to redress the grievances. And if they don't, then the next step would be a grassroots campaign in the United States to support candidates using our contacts with Occupy Wall Street and the 99% Declaration, which is nationwide, to support candidates who take a pledge to redress these grievances that are produced in Philadelphia this summer. So it's not, we do not advocate violence whatsoever, none. We are advocating a revolution, but an electoral revolution, where we give the current elected politicians a chance to redress the grievances of the 99% or suffer the consequences, which are, in this case, a grassroots movement across the country to replace all 535 members of Congress with people who are willing to take the money out of politics, overturn Citizens United, electoral reform across the country to allow third-party candidates, ending the prison industrial complex in the United States, on and on and on. Right now we have 21 suggested grievances for the petition, but only the delegates will draft the petition. The document we have now, called the 99% Declaration, which you can see at 99declaration.org, will show you all the 21 points currently in the document. And we have 8,000 members who vote on the addition or removal of any point in the document right now.
Prophet took my hand on Old Souls Day. He preached the value of deception, changing shadows by shapeshifters' rules. Tales are never just for fools.
Nightmare and insanity are akin. Mysterious and involuntary states that skew and distort objective reality. One wakens from nightmare. From insanity, there is no awakening. Whether Americans live in the one state or the other is the paramount question of this era. For 200 years, Americans have been indoctrinated with a mythology created, imposed, and sustained by a manipulating cabal. A financial elite that built its absolute control on the muscle and blood, ignorance and credulity of its citizenry. It has now metastasized into the corporate tyranny that owns and controls America. America began with the invasion of a populated continent and the genocide of its people. Once entrenched, it embraced enslavement of another race. With those pillars of state in place, it declared itself an independent nation in a testament that proclaimed the equality of all mankind. In that monumental act of hypocrisy, America's myth had its genesis. A constitution was written that came to be regarded as Holy Writ.
Designed by men of wealth and prominence, its central purposes were to defend private property and suppress mass democracy. It has fulfilled those mandates beyond the dreams of its creators. With the existing oligarchy secure in law and native people largely exterminated, the ruling class increased its wealth and power fantastically in the 19th century, using the government as its enabler, exploiting to the limit the device of chartered corporations. So empowered, the financial elite used the military to expand its sway beyond the continent. Regions, territories, islands, and whole countries were annexed, invaded, and possessed outright, their peoples crushed, suppressed, and exploited. Because ordinary Americans, like any people, need to believe that whatever the ruling class undertakes in their name must be essentially benevolent, noble in purpose, and justified in fact, the American myth had to be radically modified for imperial expansion. The foundational myth was that the Americans had come to a howling wilderness teeming with godless savages, and through invincible strength of character and purity of purpose had tamed the land and honorably earned the right to possess their bountiful home. In the era of extraterritorial expansion, that version was polished to justify and ennoble imperialism. The new corollary was that America was obliged by our manifest destiny to carry our mission into barbaric darkness wherever tyranny created abuse and suffering. A national myth that absolutely binds the loyalty of a people to its government must be a subtle and powerful elixir that elevates and aggrandizes that people's self-regard. National policy will then appear to be an extension of its superior citizenry's inchoate will and an instrument of justified arrogance toward the lesser world. The simple, powerful myth of America's heroic and altruistic benevolence, shaped by the financial elite, infused Americans with a hubristic belief in their racial superiority that mobilized gave imperialist enterprises the character of a quasi-religious crusade. In this way, insatiable imperialism acquired the apparent moral perfection of a syllogism.
Do what you're gonna do, and say what you're gonna say. Do what you gonna do. Yes, start today. Start today.
It may rain, it may shine.